In the middle of a difficult season, we might not really understand what is the point of praying, especially when it seems like maybe your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. That's what we're talking about today on The Truth and Our Trauma. Ever sit down to pray and end up thinking about what you need to buy at the store instead? No judgment. I've totally been there. And that's why I decided to create the Ignite Strategic Prayer Planner and Journal. Know what to pray, track your impact, and learn to hear God's voice for yourself. Ignite is more than just a journal. It's a journey. And it's available now on Amazon and at the link in the show notes. In the early part of last year, I was in the middle of what I would call a dark night of the soul. I had had a very rough ending to 2022. And when I started out 2023, things seemed to be going okay, but I constantly felt like I was taking two steps forward and then one step back. It just seemed in my faith, in my life, anything I was doing, I would make a little bit of progress and then I would just get knocked down again. And in the middle of this season of already feeling just so confused about what God was doing and where he was, I found myself in a pretty significant car accident. One thing that was very significant about this car accident was the fact that I actually had a dream about it before it happened. And sometimes with dreams, they are sent there to bother us, or other times they're sent there for us to pray about and they never happen. And yet other times they are an indication from God that something is coming and their preparation. And I didn't know which one it was going to be until the accident actually occurred. And the first conscious thought I had after this accident is, oh my goodness, it happened. Now, because of this dream, though it had been a high-speed collision and I was in the middle of absolute just shock, I knew what to do. In the dream, I got out of the car, so I got out of the car, which I don't know actually if that was the best thing to do, but everything worked out. But I was praying on the side of the road there, waiting for the EMTs to arrive, and I knew that God was with me. And there were so many things, even shortly after the accident, that really lined up so well. You know, my injuries were quite minor, despite the fact that this had been a high-speed crash. The other person that I ended up in the accident with was a young Christian. And so our ability to communicate and to take care of one another was something that the police officer who was overseeing the investigation actually said, "Do you guys know each other? You know, this is not normally what we see out here." And so it was even just such a, from start to finish, an experience where there was an awareness that God was in it. There were so many other blessings that came out of this and in the recovery period. And one of those was actually a replacement vehicle. And this was at a time where I was actually starting to think about perhaps purchasing a new vehicle. And while this is not the way to do that, it worked out that I ended up with a vehicle that I had wanted for a long time in a very short span of time, in a period of time where it was taking people months to find a used vehicle. So in the immediate aftermath, it looked like, wow. Okay, God told me this was going to happen. He had his hand on me. Everything is working out okay. Like, you think that this would be a place where your faith would be just soaring. And yet, very shortly after, I plunged into an even darker pit than where I had already been when this all started. I started to become consumed by the fact that my life had been threatened. That had one thing changed in one direction or another with this entire thing, things could have been very not okay. And I'm a single mom of three. And so for me to come home that night to my kids was just the absolute blessing of blessings. And the thought that that could have not happened was just gut-wrenching. What I didn't notice until later was in the middle of all of this panic, I had stopped praying. I had really stopped praying. And part of it was, well, Lord, you told me this was going to happen and it happened and you took care of me. And I don't think it was for anything that I did. So I don't really know if my prayers matter. I think maybe things are just going to happen and my prayer probably doesn't matter all that much. But the other layer of this was, like I said, the fact that I was already in this dark night of the soul season of really being confused of what God was doing. And dealing with a lot of fear and doubt about whether or not I could trust him. And so here where I'm already having this experience of like making progress and things falling apart, this accident happened the week that the Bible study I wrote, Made for More, was published. And I was dumbfounded by this because there were so many things that God had put in place for me to be able to write Made for More. There was confirmation that this is what the next project was supposed to be. There was financing that literally dropped in our laps the day that we requested it for this book to actually come into fruition. So there were all of these God pieces that were lining up, and yet then this accident happened. And yes, of course, we can see this as something that the enemy would not want to come out, would not want to happen, and that there would be then an attack against me, against this book, against whatever else God was doing in that time. And so while there was gratitude, again, of knowing that the Lord had kept me safe and that he had his hand all over it from start to finish, this was another layer of confusion in what God was doing and why. I could not understand how all the timing of this stuff lined up this way and what God was trying to do through it. You know, and this is hard for us. Like, in general, when we think about the difficult things that we've gone through, all the pain and the suffering and the abuse and the hurt, that we don't already have a great grasp on why these things are allowed and what is the role of good and evil in these things. We know God uses it for good, but we can't understand necessarily why he allows it. And so you can see how this just created yet another storm of this doubt and this fear of trusting the Lord as I was already stepping through these things. And I will admit, for all of us, when we have this doubt and we have this confusion, it can make us pretty hesitant. It can make us kind of shrink back from the Lord and draw back and say, I don't know if I want to talk to you. I don't know if you're safe to talk to. I just don't really know what the point is, actually. So maybe I will just go on doing my life, doing some things. I'll pray when I feel like maybe it matters, but I don't think I'm going to go all in on this right now because I'm just not sure what the point is. And you know what? The Lord knows this about us. He knows that we're human. He knows that we don't understand. He knows we have an enemy who knows that and is trying to take advantage of that. And so where I had lost my will to fight, lost my will to pray, just didn't really see the point in any of it. It was in the middle of all of this that one morning I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, "Michelle, pick up your sword." In the weeks that followed, I began to recognize really where I was getting stuck, not even after just the accident, but the whole dark night of the soul season that I was in. And I was stuck in this place that if I didn't feel that I could understand God, then I didn't believe that I could trust him. And I think we all get caught here. I think we all look at things that have happened to us, and because we don't understand where he is in them or what he has been doing in the process, then we know that he's allowed it and we can't see how a good God would allow those things. So it forces us then to decide in our minds, like, well, if it was a human, like, I wouldn't be able to trust a person like that. So I don't think I can trust God either. But in the Holy Spirit encouraging me to pick up my sword, it reminded me of Ephesians 6. And in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the full armor of God. And in this list of items, Paul is talking about all these things for the Christian to put on when it comes to spiritual warfare. And yet there is only one offensive weapon mentioned in this entire list, and it is the sword of the Spirit. Okay, this one is for all my overthinkers out there. I used to be absolutely debilitated by intrusive thoughts. Everything from constant worry to just dread of the future, I couldn't make it stop. If you're there right now, I have developed a free downloadable guide to help you get your mind back. It's called Overthinking: Get Out of Your Head and On with Your Life. And you can download it for free right now at uncommonvalor.co. Now, the sword of the Spirit, Paul equates to prayer. He says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And that's Ephesians 6, 17 through 18. And so where I had been so caught looking at God and saying, I don't understand you, so I don't know if I can trust you, I had completely neglected the fact that I have an enemy, and it is clear in Scripture what his motives are. His motives are to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy my relationship with the Lord. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy any hope that you or I might have that could possibly come out of the things that you and I have been through. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy who you're going to become, who the Lord is making you to be out of the things that you have experienced. Because this is a known thing, is that what the enemy meant for evil, God uses for good. And though we may not fully understand that entire process, what we can know is if it were not for the fact that we are loved by a God of redemption and that Jesus came and died and rose again for us, redemption would never be possible. It would be trauma and nothing else. It would be heartbreak and nothing else. It would be betrayal and nothing else. It would be hell and nothing else. So as I began to pick up my sword again and began to pray again, I began to recognize, you know what? We don't always have to understand what God's doing. The word tells us that he's good, tells us that his ways are higher than our ways, tells us that he sees and knows things that we don't know. But on top of that, each of us has the ability to trace through the past and see where God's hand has been. You know, there were other times prior to this car accident where the Lord got me through some really terrible stuff. And I think the fear for us is that maybe someday all that faithfulness is just going to stop. That the goodness that maybe was there, even side by side with the bad stuff, that maybe it's just going to run out. And it's really only with persistence and time and noticing that that faithfulness has not run out that we recognize that we're being played. We recognize that this doubt has been planted in us by this enemy. And so where I don't necessarily know everything that God is doing, I do know what this enemy is doing, and I want to fight it. And so now, a whole year later, I can see so much more of what God was doing in that time. I can see how that accident worked out for me in so many more ways than just getting a new car and having people bring me meals and having a nice exchange with this young man on the side of the road. Through this experience and the things that happened subsequently, I can see so much more clearly how for me God is, how for you God is, how blatant our enemy is, and yet also how powerful and mighty and good and loving our God is. But I'm going to tell you this, I only got there by pressing in. I only got there by persisting. I only got there by continuing to pray. And so if what I am telling you right now is like, Michelle, okay, yep, I'm going to tell you something. It is not just for me. It's for you too. And that as you continue to persist and use the sword of the Spirit to fight your enemy, you will become strengthened and bolstered in the Lord. What I'm learning so much more about prayer too is the fact that there is such a mystery of this. There is so much that's going on spiritually while we're praying that we don't even understand. I think the way a lot of us have thought about prayer in the past is it's like a coin that I'm putting in a gumball machine, and I put in my coin and out pops my gumball, right? And the way that I'm starting to see prayer more and more in this season is that it's seeds. They're seeds. Like, these are things that we're continually planting and planting and planting. And there's going to be a lot of time where we're not going to see anything. All that is getting put in the ground, and it's going in the ground. That's it. We don't get to see what happens, because it is up to God to multiply and water and do what he's going to do. He is the God of the harvest. And so where he invites us into this mystery of prayer, it is something that we may go for a long time and not see anything, and then all of a sudden we start to see stuff sprout up. And here's the thing, one of those things that sprouts up is us. That as we continue to pray, even as we're praying for other people, he's changing us in the process. And I've seen so often where I'm praying for somebody else, and yet the Lord is building in me a strength or a confidence or an awareness that I actually figure out that I have something to help that person, or I end up with something to bless them at just the right time. But it's because in my concern for them, the Lord has been building something into me that He wants to give to them through me. And with that, for us, comes healing, comes growth, comes closeness with the Lord. And that is the transformation. That is the process that God is doing in all of our lives. And it's the thing that overtakes the pain and the suffering and the trauma of the past. Now, I'm not saying that to you to say that what happened to you was like just now magically okay. I am not saying that. What I am saying is the power that it has had over you, the hold, the grip that it has had over you, can absolutely be broken. That those shackles absolutely, completely fall off of you, and you walk out of that prison that you have been in with such an indignant joy in seeing the goodness of God on your behalf. But it is all a process. 5 years ago, I was not the same person. I could not sit here 5 years ago and tell you all the things that I'm telling you right now. But in the process, prayer is the communication link. Prayer is the constant. Prayer is the thing that we have to stay attached and tethered when the world is like going crazy and we're getting blown everywhere by the storms of life. Because I'll tell you one thing, the devil isn't always necessarily trying to make us bad. He's trying to make us unbelieving. He's trying to get us unhooked and unattached from the God who is our sustainer and our protector and our provider and the very source of our life and vitality. And so every time you go back to that prayer closet, and even if you don't know what to say, or even if you don't want to pray, but every time that you do it, you are making a declaration with your actions. I'm in this. I'm not going anywhere. I might not get where I'm at right now, but I'm not staying here. And even that action itself is a seed of faith. It is a seed of faith. And what I see more and more and more with prayer is that it is not about perfect words. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, which means He knows what you need, He knows what you're praying about, and He knows how to get the right words to the throne room of heaven, even if you don't. But what you are doing by even engaging in the process is building your faith and presenting your prayers as a vehicle of faith. They are a faith vehicle that even if the words are not perfect, that you're declaring to the Lord, use my faith. Would you use my faith? Would you use my faith on my behalf? Would you use my faith on the behalf of who I'm praying for? Even if I don't see it right now, would you use it? Purely by showing up. And as much as I'm talking about seeds being planted and this being a process and a journey, there are also things that absolutely happen instantaneously. I heard a story recently about a woman who had been in a 5-car pileup, and she had actually been in the first car and she had died. And so as she is leaving her body, her spirit is leaving her body, she's able to observe the whole scene and see what's going on. And she can see the whole line of cars. And the very last car, she can see inside and see that there's a woman praying. And as this woman is praying, she can see beams of light that are coming from this woman's prayers that are going into her body in the first car. And so before she actually ends up, her spirit re-entering her body, she's able to look at the license plate of that woman's car. Now, after that first woman's recovery, she was able to locate the owner of that car by the license plate. And so she was able to corroborate with her, were you here at this day, this time, this car accident? She said, yes, I was. And she said, I saw you praying for me. And because you were praying for me, I didn't die. And I thought, oh my goodness, if we really believed this about prayer, again, whether this was going to be an instantaneous thing or whether this was going to be seeds planted, if we really believed that our prayers were doing something in the moment, we would do it. We would do it all the time. We would do it about everything. I think it's Mark Batterson who talks about in one of his books, having a grandfather who prayed. And as a young man, these really amazing things were happening in Mark's life. And he was talking to the Lord and was like, what is happening? And the Lord told him, I am answering your grandfather's prayers. And I think this is so key to understanding what is going on in the midst of all this warfare and what's happening over on this side of eternity. Sometimes it doesn't really make sense. And there's parts of it, of course, the not making sense is what builds the faith. And that faith is built in prayer, that whether or not we ever see the outcomes of these things, that the recognition that I can ask the Lord for something and I can actually see him move in it is so incredibly powerful, that if we recognize even from these examples that every prayer matters, that every prayer is changing something in you, in me, in the people in our lives, in the circumstances, in the earth, in the spirit, is changing things, then we understand what the devil is after. We understand why he's after us, why he's attacking us, why he's trying to hurt us and steal our faith and put all this doubt in there and all of that. Our prayers matter. Our lives matter. The things that matter to us matter to God. And he's not up there arbitrarily just deciding, well, I think I'll answer this one and not that one. You know, I think I'll answer this one immediately. And I think for that person, I'm going to make them wait 15 years. It's not arbitrary. It's all part of a very good and very big plan that we are co-laboring with the God of the universe when we pray, that we are in a garden planting seeds next to the Lord. I mean, just imagine that. You're in this tilled up dirt field, just side by side with Jesus planting seeds in the ground. And even as I'm saying this, I just imagine his delight. I imagine the enjoyment of being in the dirt, our hands in the dirt together, as he does with our plantings, only what he can do. I pray that something of this encouraged you, that if you're in a place right now where you don't understand what this is all about, or you don't understand if prayer really even matters, that you just know how important that you are and how important your prayers are. And as it relates to this dark night of the soul experience that I was talking about, this is exactly what I'm talking about in volume 2 of the Ignite Strategic Prayer Planner and Journal. Volume 2 is now available on Amazon. And in there, I talk more about this story, more about the sword of the spirit, which there's so much to unpack there that is so robust when we understand even what that means and actually what it means to say that the sword of the spirit is the word of God. There's a lot in there. So if it's something that you are just looking for some support, if you're in this battle to believe, that is available for you now. Shalom. Thanks for being with me for this episode today. I hope you'll come back again. And in the meantime, you can follow me over on social media and find out about our resources and services over at uncommonvalor.co.